So if you have your devotionals handy, we're going to be referring to those. For those who are visiting, the devotional is also known as the bulletin. And on the back, we have our verses that we're going to be talking about. So it's a handy way for you to follow along. And also, there's a quote on the inside middle page that we're also going to be talking about. So you might want to flip back and forth there. Judge Jesus. One of the most famous and I think uncomfortable passages in Scripture, it is for me, is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus sums up the issue, and he says, "I can see it now." I'll paraphrase, Tim's paraphrased. "I can see it now," he says. "On the great last day, many, many people are going to be coming up to me, and they're going to be calling me by name, Lord. And they're going to be saying, we did this, we did that, we experienced this, we experienced that." And Jesus is going to give them an unexpected and chilling answer. And he says back to them, "Yeah, you had the Jesus experience. But one thing, I never knew you. And therefore, you never knew me. And therefore, the point of your faith was never really met." And that's what we need to get crystal clear as God's people. And that is the point of our faith. And I went through, as Matt read this morning, to make this clear. And we see that Jesus starts out on his mission. And where does he go? At the top of your devotional. He goes to towns and villages. And what do these towns and villages have? Where is he going into these towns and villages? He's going into the synagogues. What we would call today the church. And he's preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness. Now get that crystal clear. He is going to towns, and when he goes to the towns, he goes to the churches. To make it contemporary. What's he doing? Look at the next passage there. Matthew 11, 4 and 5. What's he doing? What are these miracles that he's doing? What are these people seeing? What are they experiencing? They're seeing some really remarkable things. The blind see. The lame walk. Skin diseases are healed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor are told the good news. That's the context. That's where he's going. He's going to the towns with synagogues, and he's doing God things in those synagogues, and he is showing people what the kingdom of God is going to look like in the flesh. Now, here's what we're going to learn today. We're going to learn the difference today between having the Jesus experience and the Jesus experience having you. We're going to learn the difference today between belief in the restorative grace of Jesus and the difference between that and repentance that leads to that restorative grace of Jesus restoring us, changing us. You see, there's a difference in all of that. The one we control, the Jesus experience, having the Jesus experience, you control. A belief in who he is and what he says and what he does, you totally control. The other, we don't control. Repentance leading to that restorative justice and grace of Jesus changing us. We don't control that. And here's what we're going to learn. Judge Jesus will judge the church and the people in the church. Listen carefully. This convicted me. Maybe it will you. And I'm not here to beat you up. Jesus will judge the church and the people in the church not on whether you believe who he is or that you have partaken of the Jesus experience. Here's what we learned in this passage today. Jesus is going to judge us quite simply on one thing. You know what it is? What Matt read? That word that Jesus kept bringing back? He's going to judge us on one thing. Repentance. Whether we have repented. Let's look at our text. You know, I used to, I maybe you did too. When I grew up, and as you know, bragging, I'm a fourth generation pastor. Okay. When I grew up, what did I hear over and over and over? All you have to do is believe. You believe, you're in. You believe who he is, you're in. That's not what the scripture says. Because the point of our faith is not a nebulous belief that has no impact on our lives. That does nobody any good. The point of our faith ever and always is repentance that leads to a changed life. Repentance that leads to a changed life. Let's look at the text. Verse 20. Then Jesus, he proceeded to scold, denounce the towns where most of his miracles were done. What were those towns? Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida. Now, you know your geography? You know where Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida were? They were in the northern kingdom, and all three of them, here's the Sea of Galilee like this, and all three of those towns were on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, about 20-minute walk from each other. You could go from one town to another within 20 minutes. Those were Jewish towns, and each of them had a synagogue. That's where his miracles were done. What was the problem? What did Jesus have the beef with those? Look at that. Because they did not repent. You know what else this, when I read this, I got? Jesus knows if you've repented. He knows. He knew that there were people in those towns that saw these miracles and they didn't repent. Their repentance then can't be an internal reality. Only. Repentance has to be an internal reality that results in an external change. A change. We have to be very careful here as God's people. And look what he says to them. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes long ago. I sent Matt a little email this week. I'm doing some email. I have four people I email with. Tom, Tad, Teresa, and now Matt. It takes me a long time to send an email. And I don't type. So I sent Matt an email and I said, and ask yourself this question. What did Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum have that Tyre and Sidon did not have? What did those three cities have that Tyre and Sidon, this is going to be a little bit of a revelation for us this morning, an eye-opener. Tyre and Sidon were farther north, up in Syria. They were pagan cities. Tyre and Sidon did not have any churches. Interesting? No churches. Jesus says the miracles were the same. If he had done those miracles in those non-church cities, They would have repented long ago, and not just repented, they would have put on sackcloth and ashes. So the miracles are the same. Jesus is the same. The one doing the miracles is the same. The only difference here, the variable in this equation, is that the cities that he said would have put on sackcloth and ashes and repented long ago didn't have churches. Knew nothing about God. See, we forget that. We think that the whole world had the Bible at that time. This was written just to the Jews. The pagans knew nothing about the Ten Commandments. The pagans knew nothing about the coming Messiah. They were polytheists. They worshipped every other kind of god. They were pantheists. So they didn't have synagogues. And yet Jesus says, somehow, some way, having the synagogues in the cities, having churches, and we have a lot of churches, don't we? We have churches on every corner up in Mansfield. Dozens and dozens of churches. If I'm to read this text correctly, then that would say to me, somehow, some way, churches and people in the church and church attendance is standing in the way of repentance. What's going on? The miracles are the same. Jesus is the same. The towns are different, and the difference is some have churches and some don't. And look what he says to the church. To the people in the church. And by the way, the people in Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, they had the Jesus experience. They saw the miracles. They believed who he was because they saw it happen. It's not belief. It is belief that pushes us, motivates us, draws us up into a state of repentance. And that is Jesus's, that's his problem with these towns. They had the Jesus experience. Now, what about them? How's it going to be for them? How's it going to be for people of the church that have the Jesus experience, which you're having now, by the way? But does the Jesus experience have you? You see that? He says, it's going to be better off. The people in Tyre and Sidon, the pagan cities, people that never go to church, are going to be better off. It's going to be more tolerable for them than for you people that dabble in church. You people that keep church at your arm's length and you make church just what you want it to be. It's not really going to infringe on my life. I like to go. I get inspired. It's encouraging. Tim had a good message that Sunday. But, you know, I just want to keep it in its place in my life. I do not want to become fanatical about this. Don't really want it to insinuate itself into my day-to-day life. Wow. You know what Jesus says? It's going to be better off. People who never go to church are going to be better off than you. Because you were exposed to the Jesus experience and you shut the door on it. You controlled it. It did not move you to repentance. And you, Capernaum, verse 23. What was significant about Capernaum? Bible scholars out there. Jesus hears that John the Baptist has been arrested. Chapter 4, and he leaves Nazareth behind, and he withdrew to the backwater town of Capernaum. Jesus made Capernaum his base, his headquarters. That's where he lived. And Capernaum was really proud of that. We've got this miracle worker. We're sponsoring Jesus' miracles. We're Capernaum, and they had a little theme that they said. They said that they were exalted to heaven. You see that? And you, Capernaum, you think you're going to be exalted to heaven? That was their theme. It's sort of like on our money, God, we, in God we trust. Okay, that's what they had in Capernaum going. They had a Capernaum, you know, like they had a billboard up, Capernaum, exalted to heaven underneath it when people would drive into Capernaum, home of Jesus, that kind of thing. look what Jesus says to them. You think you're going to heaven? Do you think you're going to be exalted to heaven, Capernaum? I got some really exceedingly bad news for you. The opposite's going to happen. You will go down to Hades. Now, we don't like to talk about hell. We don't like to talk about Hades. It's uncomfortable. But would it surprise you to know this? Jesus of Nazareth, our Lord and Master, talks about hell and Hades more than any other New Testament figure, save John the Baptist. John the Baptist was first, Jesus is second. This is, he talks about this more than anybody except John the Baptist. And do you know the startling thing about this? Do you know who he talks to it about? To the church. Judgment on the church. Judgment on the synagogue. On people that come to church and have the Jesus experience, but the Jesus experience does not have them. You know, I understand this perfectly. And when I have patients come in, sidebar, I have patients come in. And, you know, I know when they stay in control. You know what I mean? And sometimes I'm sure that if you're in another healthcare profession, you know you got clients like this. They're going to stay in control. Oh, I want to see what you have to offer. I want to have the Tim experience, okay? But you are really not going to change anything that I'm doing. Don't think that for a minute. I want to hear what you have to say, and then I'll pick and choose. See, I know the patients that I have, so to speak, and the patients that just want to have me. You see the difference? That's what's going on here. And he says to Capernaum, those who were absolutely certain that they were in. When I was preparing this message this week, I said to myself, I wish that every church in Richland County and every person that attends church could hear this message, because we need to do one thing. I don't think we don't take Jesus of Nazareth seriously. We don't take what he said serious enough. And what he says to the church is very serious. You will go down to Hades. Why? Again, why? For if the miracles that were done in you had been done in Sodom. That's the synonym for perversion. In that city, they would have remained until today, but I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. What's wrong with these people in the churches, and why is Jesus judging them? Because he's saying this to them. You had it all. You have Bibles in the back of the pew. You got Bibles in your house. You've got the Jesus experience. You're exposed to me. And there are people out there who know nothing about me. And you are shutting the door. You are having the Jesus experience, but you're not letting the Jesus experience have you. It's going to be much, much worse off for you than those people who have never heard. Now, why is this true? What's going on? What about the church experience? What's happening to people? You know, I've seen a big change in churches over my tenure. Church used to be a totally different animal than what it has become today. And it bothers me. And I'm going to explain what's happening. And I'm going to explain it happened here in Jesus' time too. How can you have the Jesus experience today? Okay, you're having the Jesus experience. All of you just listen for a few minutes more. This is really important. You're having the Jesus experience right now. You can't experience him in the flesh like they did. But when you're here in this church, you experience Jesus in the singing, in mass worship, lady, in the fellowship with one another. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through one another. And hopefully through the teaching. You're having the Jesus experience. But the problem is with church, the church experience can numb you, can numb us, Teresa's word, can numb us to our need to repent. And here's why. I'm going to explain this pharmacologically to you, so you're going to get this, what's happening in churches. The church experience then can become a negative to you. I don't think that happens here at Newville. I don't think so. Because when the church experience, and this is what I've seen happen in churches now, not all, please, this is not a pandemic judgment against churches, but what is happening with the church experience is when the church experience becomes anything other than, expositional preaching of this convicting word, it actually blunts our need and even our desire to repent. Do you see this? We have equated the church experience with conversion. That's what was going on here in Capernaum, in Bethsaida, in Chorazin. They made a fatal error. They equated the experience of Jesus, the belief, and they believed who he was. They saw the miracles. They equated that experience with the real deal, conversion. And Jesus says to them, you didn't repent. You had the Jesus experience. Yeah, you sponsored me. You sponsored me. But I know who repents. Timothy. The Lord's foundation stands firm with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. Oh, I love it. I want that on my tombstone. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord must turn from unrighteousness. It is not about the church experience. It is not about your belief in who he is. It is ever and always about repentance, because it is repentance that leads to conversion. The only thing that should happen in churches is that our hearts and minds have, the Holy Spirit has access to our hearts and minds through the exposition of this word that Hebrews calls a double-edged sword that divides and cuts to the marrow. Because that gives the Holy Spirit access to our hearts and our minds, and that leads us to repentance. Here's what's happened in churches. Here's what happened to Solomon. Remember Solomon? Built a temple, had a huge infrastructure. What did he have to start doing? He had to go outside into the surrounding pagan nations and bring people in. And he even put golden calves at the entrance to the temple so that pagans would feel more comfortable to keep the infrastructure supported. Church is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And the church experience that becomes something else, can you see that this be detriment? The church experience that becomes other than conviction from the word hurts you to your eternal damnation. You know what Jesus says here about to Capernaum? He says the experience of Jesus without repentance actually leads to a greater damnation than people who have never heard. So if you're here at Newville, you're pretty much toast because you're hearing the word. That's what we do. We don't do the church thing. We don't do church. We are the church. And the church experience has become something that people go to and have an experience, and it's entertaining, and they have the lights going, and they have the fog on the stage sometimes, and they've got it all, and the message is great, and people leave having had the church experience, and they equate that with conversion. Teresa and I had a conversation with somebody who went to the church will remain unnamed, and all they talked about was the church experience that they had. They talked about the church that they attended and how much they loved what happened in that church that they attended. You know what I never heard them say? We've never heard them say that they love our Lord and Master. Can church become an idol? You bet it can. Can the church experience become idolatry? Yes, it can. Now, here's the pharmacology. Here's how you're going to understand it. Pharmacology is good and bad. I mean, we've had some tremendous advancements in drug therapy that have prolonged lives and have made lives more comfortable. Here's the problem. And here's what the church can be like. If you have a serious metabolic condition, underlying condition, okay? And here's what I struggle with patients all the time, and I'm going to tell you something, I lose. Because when a patient comes in to see me, and I want them to do thus, 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 and thus, and they say, why would I do that? All I have to do is take this one pill once a day, and I'm good. I lose that battle. You see, that's church. If you have an underlying condition, which we all have death and deconstruction that has invaded God's good creation, and we are the recipients of that. That gives symptoms. Like any disease, it gives symptoms. If you have a physical illness and you have symptoms from that physical illness and you go to a practitioner who just treats the symptoms, okay? I got patients coming with real severe low back pain, acute. And I'll say it's going to take about 3 weeks to really get this under control. So they'll go to their medical doctor the next day, and he'll give them a cortisone shot. They come back and say, I felt great. I felt great within hours. Well, yeah, you did. But, you know, did he tell you that that shuts down your adrenal function? Did he leave that little detail out? Well, no, he didn't say anything about that. Okay. Church can become the pill that covers the symptoms. Do you see this? What should church be? When I get a patient in and they have an underlying problem and I say, well, here's your condition. Here's our condition. We are suffering with death and deconstruction, all of us. We're fellow travelers to the grave, like Shakespeare said, crawling between the beast and the angels. And I say, you have this, thus, and thus condition. Now, you have to change your diet. You have to start exercising. You have to take this supplement, possibly. And that will get to the underlying cause. They know that they need to change something. Okay? Now, here's what the church can do. Here's what the pill does. You go to another doctor, another church, you got the same symptoms, and they say to you, no problem. We're going to take care of that. You're going to feel better when you leave. Here, you just take this pill and you don't have to change anything. Who wins? You know who wins. So actually, here you're getting a little public health here too this morning. Actually, if you do that, if you're covering symptoms by taking a pill and not really getting to the underlying cause, you're doing nothing. You're forestalling the problem. The problem has gone underground, in other words. It's going to come out in different ways in your body. It's going to come out in ways you don't even feel. But I don't feel the symptoms. Well, that's fine. But you are going to pay the price, you see. This is what the church is doing. When you come here, I'm not going to give you a pill to cover the symptoms. Because that's what Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum did. They felt great about who they were. There was no uncomfortableness in their midst because they had the Jesus experience. And the Jesus experience is exhilarating. It is encouraging, isn't it? It does help us. It does make us feel good. You come here and have the Jesus experience. It does. It's uplifting. But the church experience, absent me telling you what this word says and it taking a pill to cover the symptoms, yeah, you can go to many churches. You can go to many churches and take pills to cover the symptoms. It will never lead you to change, to repent. Never. If you take a pill to cover a physical symptom, you have no motivation to change. None. The disease marches on. You just don't feel it. And that's what's called being numb. Being numb to the condition that ails you. It has infected our health care, and it has infected our churches, and it is very attractive, and it's very hard to go against. It's very hard for me to go against in my office, very hard for me to go against here in the church. Why? Because God's word calls us to repentance. Repentance means we change, and that means that we are changed and we are changing because we are not taking pills to cover our symptoms in the church experience. That's what's happening here. And actually, people, again, patients. Patient comes in to see me, and they don't take pills to cover the symptoms. They've never taken a pill to cover up the symptoms. They are very receptive to what I have to offer. They're ready because they haven't been into the church experience. If I get someone here who has had the church experience and they have the comfortable church experience, take this pill, they're out of here. They're gone. No need. Why would I go there where the word is exposed and we are challenged to change when I can go down here and I have no challenge to change and I leave feeling better? You know, after all, that's what it's about. This is challenging to God's people. This is a real challenge to the church. It is a challenge to you and to me if we have the church experience without the church experience having us. And Jesus calls us and the church to do one thing, and that is repent. And we end with the quote. Let's all look at the quote together on the inside of your scripture, your devotional. Appropriate? Jesus talking to him. You pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them. You have the church experience because you think there's something there for you. And yet, the church experience testifies about me, but here's the problem. And you're not willing to come to me so that you may have life. You're not willing to repent. You're not willing to allow me to change you. And therefore, you keep pouring over the scriptures, looking for a loophole or another way. Certainly there's another way to have this thing done that does not require me to deal with the issue. Jesus had it in his day, and we have it now. No, the point of our faith is not that we go around feeling discouraged and that we feel like we're not doing enough. That's not the point. The point of our faith ever and always, and the Jesus experience and his miracles ever and always are about one thing, and that is to lead us to repentance, which gives the Holy Spirit access to our hearts and minds, which result in a changed and changing church and people of the church. Let's pray. Our Lord and Master, I pray that you would bless these words and that you would convict us, Lord, of our need of the experience of you having us. Bless every heart and soul that is here, Lord. We ask this in your strongest name. Amen.